This is KVNF's regional newscast for Tuesday, August 17th. I'm Gavin Dahl. The Interior Department is appealing a challenge to the pause on oil and gas leasing it instituted earlier this year. At the same time, the department has quietly restarted its oil and gas program on public lands without guidance to its state and field offices on how to proceed with leasing in wildlife and recreation lands, critical water supply areas, and around archaeological sites. Interior has broad discretionary authority to restrict how and where oil and gas leasing can occur on public lands. Pete Goldenschlag, director of the Colorado Farm and Food Alliance in the North Fork Valley, said in a press release, quote, "We appreciate that the Interior is defending itself in a lawsuit brought by the oil and gas industry, but the climate emergency is not waiting for the appeal to play out, and the Colorado River crisis is not solved by kicking the can down the road." The Gunnison Basin is among the regions warming most quickly in the U.S. and remains in severe drought. U.S. Geological Survey data shows fossil fuel development, including fracking and other oil and gas leasing, contributes up to 25% of the nation's carbon pollution. Colorado Transportation Commission is proposing new transportation planning standards to reduce pollution and greenhouse gas emissions from the transportation sector, improve air quality, reduce smog, and provide more travel options. They're calling it the Greenhouse Gas Standard Process. Building on a greenhouse gas roadmap laid out by Governor Jared Polis, the proposal will require Colorado's five metropolitan areas to embed air quality and equity analysis into transportation planning. Publication of the draft standard begins a 60-day public review period. CDOT will host public hearings, including in Grand Junction and Glenwood Springs. Delta and Montrose were two of 16 recipients of grants from the Colorado Department of Transportation, part of the Revitalizing Main Streets program. Delta is receiving $2 million for a full reconstruction of Hillside Street. The area has safety hazards and high accident intersections. Hillside Street connects the city's Main Street to its residential neighborhoods and elementary schools. Montrose is also receiving $2 million and will spend it on West Main Street. Montrose Community Program Manager Kendall Kramer says funding will be used to transform the West Main Street corridor, improving safety for pedestrians and bicyclists. The Happy Camper, one of two marijuana dispensaries in Palisade, has been granted approval by trustees to move its retail shop to a parcel near Interstate 70, Exit 42, at the north entrance of town. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports the new store will include 38 parking spaces above what is required by Palisade. The application also includes a traffic study as required from CDOT. While supportive of the decision, the Sentinel editorial board calls it capricious and arbitrary, given trustees' denial of a move by the Weedery a few months ago. The editorial concludes, quote, "With Grand Junction facing similar questions about siting preferences for retail marijuana, Palisade stands out as the example of what not to do, take things on a case-by-case basis, and make decisions on the fly to create uncertainty in investment." Water levels at Rudai Reservoir may fall so low this winter that the city of Aspen could face difficulty making hydroelectric power. Those who own water in the res could see shortages. The Colorado Sun reports at the annual Rudai meeting on August 5th, officials estimated the reservoir will fall to around 55,000 acre-feet this winter for their carryover storage. That puts the elevation of the water at about 7,700 feet, according to the Bureau of Reclamation, which operates the reservoir near the headwaters of the Frying Pan River. The hydro plant needs a strong water pressure to operate. The higher the water level, the more water pressure there is. Rudai ended up only about 80% full this year. For the first time ever, the Bureau of Reclamation has declared a water shortage for the lower Colorado River Basin. Alex Hager is taking over Colorado River reporting at KUNC from Luke Runyon. Hager says it means mandatory cutbacks for some users in the Southwest.
Water levels in Lake Mead and Lake Powell are at historic lows because of widespread drought, increased demand, and climate change. Camille Kalim-Lemtudin is the Bureau's deputy commissioner. She says conditions are not likely to change anytime soon.
Reclamation does not take these actions lightly or do so easily. We do so because it is necessary in protecting the system and in implementing the agreements we have in place and as enacted by Congress.
Restrictions for water use in the lower Colorado Basin will go into effect in Nevada and Arizona starting in January 2022. The river serves 40 million people in the Southwest. I'm Alex Hager.
The long-awaited census numbers for the 2020 count were released last week. Montrose County grew by over 3%, or around 1,400 residents. Delta County only grew by about 250 people, or less than 1%. As a whole, Colorado grew nearly 15%. Kate Redman has more.
The U.S. Census Bureau released their numbers from the 2020 census on Thursday. Last year presented multiple challenges, including a virulent pandemic and the sitting president attempting to obstruct an accurate count. He pursued policies that made immigrants less likely to respond, for example, by concluding operations weeks earlier than they had previously announced, leaving little time to reach people who are hardest to count. He also attempted to place a question of citizenship status on the form, a move that was successfully challenged in the Supreme Court. Census population counts are frequently used to create statistical indicators, including poverty thresholds and the Consumer Price Index, which are used to determine federal funding for 300 programs, including healthcare, food stamps, highways and transportation, education, public housing, unemployment insurance, and public safety. And the numbers are critical to states' redistricting. Colorado will gain an 8th U.S. House seat concomitant with the census data. A webinar on Thursday by the Census Bureau took questions from the national press. Much of the 90-minute session was dedicated to how the Bureau this year and previous decades has classified ethnic groups in the nation. Alex Ebert from Bloomberg News had this exchange with the Bureau panel.
I'm interested in how this more colorful and helpful data around race and ethnicity might prove possible challenges for people looking to draw specific Voting Rights Act block groups and create majority-minority or impactful minority voting maps. How will this more colorful data that's being produced, this more full and rich data, impact that ability?
Speaking in generalities around the use of this data for compliance with the Voting Rights Act, the work that we've done and the accuracy targets that were chosen was to ensure that the numbers that are produced from the 2020 decennial census are of a high enough level of accuracy when they're aggregated into those districts that if you're making decisions about a district and you've designed a district that is meant to remedy a situation that's been found under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, that you can have confidence that those data are accurate. So we don't expect this data to affect the ability of the public, the government, special interests to use this data any differently than if they had used it in the 2010 census. The accuracy should be there that you need to be able to do that work.
The redistricting process continues in Colorado to redraw the congressional and state legislative district maps. There is still time to contribute your input. You can find that portal at redistricting.colorado.org. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
State Senator Julie Gonzalez issued a statement affirming Latinos are the second largest racial or ethnic group in Colorado. She says, quote, "I'm so proud to see Latinos participate in the census in historic numbers. Here in Colorado, our population has grown enough to earn a new congressional district. And because Latinos represent 21.9% of our state's population, Latinos will continue to represent the margin of victory for any political candidate running for major office in our state." Gonzalez also noted nationally, Latinos account for nearly half of the population growth over the past 10 years, nearly 1 in 5 voters. That does it for Tuesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.